For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Usually we say this is kind of a disgraced ex-game show host that makes an accidental discovery that there is a cosmic horror, a comatose at the bottom of the ocean, and the rest of the book is kind of humanity's reaction.
I could easily hand a scene in and Tom be like, one star, baby. What are you thinking?
That was the biggest joy from this book, is I have not read a book like it.
The prologue made me cry. And I don't want to anticipate people for the reason of it's not a tearjerker. It's not like an emotional, like, oh my God, what happened? But reading it, I knew, like, oh my God, I'm actually going to love this book.
Welcome back to another episode of Two to Ramble. My name is Richard.
My name is Austin.
Today, we're jazzed. I'd say properly excited.
Jazzed hands.
We have discovered something, or have been, you know, handed something that we are going to claim ownership of. And we're going to give it to you, the audience. We have discovered a masterpiece of a novel. We are so happy that our friends actually made a good book. We're so happy, and it's an amazing book. We had it a blast. I was there from chapter one, and we're here to pitch the book to you. The book's live now. You can click the link down below if you just want to trust our, like, gut. But we're going to be pitching the book and talking with the authors here. The authors is the family of Talkin' Story, John, Amy, and Jacob Minton. Thank you very much for coming on.
Guys, thanks for having us so much.
You know, it's the t-shirt swap is the whole point of us being here.
We're repping. Thanks for getting me an extra large, Jacob. Yeah, it's fantastic. No excuses, okay?
The large was for you. Richard just claimed it. So that's
done. We thought Austin might Hulk out. We didn't know.
Yeah, and Jacob has his hat on.
Jacob has the hat.
Yes.
Everyone's got the merch.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I want to make clear, because obviously we love you guys. We are friends of you guys. And so for the audience listening into Rich introducing that, this is no exaggeration. So this book that they created, it's called Discovery. It is a 5-star book. We will have a full spoiler-free review out in May after the book officially releases. This here is just to be, hey, this is an interest to show you guys why we think the book is so great without spoiling anything. And a cool factor of this is it was written by the three of them. This was a co-created book, a family-created book, and Rich and I are so stunned with this because of the fact that we have read debut books, but also beta read so many books of friends of ours. You've seen us give 1.5 stars to friends of ours that are authors in the industry, and it's uncomfortable because we want to love the book.
Other channels, other people may go, oh, you know, they're only giving it a high praise because, you know, they're actually friends. No, we've given 1 stars to authors' faces before that we are very friendly with. So if that doesn't buy us a little bit of credibility for this video, I don't know what would. But beside the point, 5-star book.
Our blurb of this, I'm so sorry we're talking over you, obviously. We're here to interview, with you guys. Just want to get
boy.
I'm just thinking, no wonder Jacob was so terrified to let you read this.
I'm just glad I didn't have to bring tissues in here. If you had to give it 1 star,
we thought we might have to bring tissues. Let me tell you, it wasn't just all the cigar that night that made me a little bit queasy, Richard. It was you telling me how you told your friend, this is awful.
it's happened. Yeah. When you guys only see the stuff on camera of the debut authors we do read stuff of. Like the beta read books. I mean, it's sometimes brutal, but we obviously try to give feedback of like, hey, here's why we don't like it. It's obviously as constructive as we can be. One of our best friends here wrote a book we really didn't like, and we're going like, here's why we think this, because we want him to improve. Obviously, it's from our subjective opinion. So, but I want to say our blurb of your book, Discovery, will tell people what this is actually about. Sorry, not the blurb. This is our statement of what Rich and I wrote together as a pitch. we said this book helped us discover one thing. J.J. Mitten created a masterpiece. The plot is fresh and thrilling from start to finish. World building is brilliantly realized. Discovery blew our minds. All two remaining brain cells, we gawk and Supreme Awe. 5 out of 5 stars. That's just a short way of us saying this plot and the way they constructed this novel and the absolute immersion you get into this, I don't want to say apocalyptic world, but the premise of the novel is that an apocalyptic thing or event, a Lovecraftian-esque horror, cosmic horror, is presented early on in the book, and you will be glued from the first page. Even if not, if you don't have the exact taste of Rich and I, there is something here that's special. And I will stop rambling on that and just ask you guys, do you have a way you typically like to pitch your own book and say like, hey, this it's for this kind of reader. This is something that people should know before picking up Discovery.
Oh, man. I mean, such a hard time pitching this book.
This is why we didn't get trad representation.
Yeah, this is why no one would talk to us when we were sending it around. We have such a hard time.
Yeah.
Jacob, typically, you're on the hot seat. Go, Jacob.
Question to help you, Jacob, actually, is sure. This the book idea that your teacher hated?
No, actually.
Okay. So,
it is and it isn't.
Yeah, okay. it kind of is and it isn't. So what Austin's alluding to there is that this kind of came about when I was taking a screenwriting class in college. And the project for the class is that from the beginning of the semester to the end of the semester, you have to have a pilot to turn in. And everyone reads your pilot at the end of the semester and they tell you if it sucks. Much of them are kinder than Richard, which is why I was nervous. But my professor did not like the story that I wrote as a pilot. So I graduated and came home and asked my parents, like, is this bad? Let me know, how bad is it? And my mom kind of fell in love with one character, and my dad went, no, there's something here. What if you ended the season with this thing that happens? And I thought, that's ridiculous. That makes no sense. And then we ran with it. And we wrote the book and then realized, no, like a third of this book is backstory. This can't be right. Yeah. So what in this series will be book 3 is what I wrote way back then.
Oh, got it. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
Instead of trying to do a bunch of flashbacks, decided just like, now let's give it a book one.
Right. Huge amount of the book was flashbacks. That's it was a problem.
Correct decision, by the way. Thank you. I do want to impress upon people of, I read part one of this book and my emotions going into, so I'm thinking the basic genre of like, okay, it's Lovecraftian thriller. I think would be the genre I would put it in. And from the first couple pages, I'm going like, okay, I think I understand what this book is going to be about. We started going down a certain plot beat that I've seen before. And I'm going, okay, is most of the story going to be about this? And we're going to have the same structure. Okay. And then they just take a complete turn. It is a couple different types of plot structures woven together masterfully, where end of part one is what a lot of other authors would have had just at the end of the book. And that's what I loved about this. It was so well paced. I didn't know what was going to happen afterward. And I had to call them just like, yeah, part one blew my mind. Let's hope the rest of the book, you know, doesn't suck because you're off to a great start.
Yeah.
And thankfully, and yes, the rest of the book is awesome.
For a while.
The way the puzzle pieces come together, it's such a satisfying thriller because it's engaging. You don't know where it's going, but also it slowly begins to make more and more sense. And what I love about reading is just you being able to put the pieces together. Mm-hmm. That was also so satisfying. But we've been beating around what the story actually is to go like, hey, what is this? We're talking about why it's so good, and you put a great label on it of a Lovecraftian thriller. So sorry, we cut into another question with you, Jacob, about the background. But would you guys like to put a pitch on this at all?
Yeah, I didn't answer your original question. So usually we say this is kind of a disgraced ex-game show host that makes an accidental discovery that there is a cosmic horror, a comatose at the bottom of the ocean. And the rest of the book is kind of humanity's reaction, whether that is different world governments that have to react, or world religions that have to react, different institutions that are created or kind of fall apart as a result of this discovery, and just kind of gauging how different things would happen in the world. And of course, you know, following characters inside of that and watching the effects of it. So that's kind of the vibe of the book.
Right.
Yeah, that is the best part. Yeah. Is so many different sections. You get a, after the discovery, you get little inklings into how either scientific, religious, cultural, governmental institutions either break down or rise up. All of that is like kind of the bigger structure. And then threaded throughout it is this fun, mystical, like cosmic level mystery that you're trying to piece together as the reader. And what is, at least was on the surface, rarely fun for me to figure out, I was going like, ooh, would that be how these institutions would break down? Is this what would happen? And I thought the research behind the world was incredibly well done for that reason. Like, clearly the research done into different cultures and their different beliefs and values contributed heavily to making this world feel like how ours would react. And that was a important element to me, because I think the two categories for me that were like the five-star categories was world building and plot.
Likewise, yeah.
Those were like, everything else is also spectacular, but those were the standout categories for me.
We read in your acknowledgments, you alluded to a lot of how you researched for this book. How did you all? Because you even mentioned Reddit, and it was even a helpful resource. Yeah,
Reddit is your friend when it comes to a lot of this stuff. Yeah. And how we researched it, I mean, we wrote this largely during the pandemic, so we couldn't, like, even if we had the money to travel the world, and we did want to write a story about what happens, you know, when we meet an alien culture, but we wanted to reflect what the whole world would do, not just America or white people, or we wanted all of humanity to react together. And even if it's disparate notions and religions and languages and backgrounds.
And backgrounds, just like, myths,
right. So, you know, that will be something that we continue to explore throughout the series, because that's what really, like, we wanted the entire planet Earth to be in on the game. And I think that's really fun, because, like, I don't read a lot of genre, but that's, you know, that seemed to me what I found missing. So I just definitely wanted that approach. So, because I didn't want to blow that, I took so much time with research, and I would just dig in. Like, we go to Ghana, and like, I would just watch video after video of you know, just like street fairs or people walking around, or, you know, groups of boys talking to each other, just to get the feel of the language and what they were eating. And sometimes, you know, like, if travel vloggers are really good, they'll tell you what they're smelling, and, you know, like the style of houses and what color the earth is, what color the dirt is, what color, you know, like what kind of street lamps do they have. Like, you just, like, I just wandered around inside these places. And and Brazil, like, you're just like the outskirts of Brazil, and just like, you know, like I would get on Google Maps and just like, just drive you know, along the river and find, you know, where I wanted this, you know, this place to be that I wanted that section to take part in. And then when I found it, I like dug into the history and what was really going on there. And then I would like Google people's names and read about them and who, you know, like what their ancestors might do, just like really feeding into just all of that, because it was just so fun for me to do. It's what I love doing. So I'm really glad to hear that it works, because like when you have something that you love to do and you feel like, wow, it's really paid off.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just a waste of time. I mean, it's just really good to hear. And, you know, and the good people of Reddit, they'll tell you how to swear in any language if you ask.
They're the good people that will do that.
So gracious.
Yeah.
So what I'm hearing is
research.
Yeah, yeah.
So when we decided, it's like, well, a global apocalypse should really be a global apocalypse.
Right, right.
She went down a rabbit hole, and we didn't see her for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
What I'm hearing is, Jacob and John, you did nothing.
That is what I'm hearing.
In research, that is absolutely correct.
That is absolutely correct.
I am so curious how that broke down with the three of you writing this. How was your process of getting the book actually done?
It was kind of, there was a long period where we all just kind of had to find each other's strengths because we had never worked together in that capacity before. I shot a short film with my dad, and that was about the extent to all of us, you know, working together. It was as close as we
I'm sorry,
got.
Jacob. I should clarify for anybody watching, we didn't mention this, but this is parents and son, by the way, because we just assumed everybody knew that. This is like a fan. We did mention it's like JJ Mitten, but I don't think we clarified. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Sorry,
that is my mom and dad. Yes. No, please. But yeah, we had never really worked together before, and my mom had worked on some projects in the past that we knew she was amazing at research. And she just kind of took that on. But we found that I've always been visual. I really love movies. I thought I was going to be a film director for a long time. So I would my mom writes at the speed of light. So if she was writing faster than I could get to something, I would just storyboard it. I would draw a scene and give it to her. And if we were ever having problems with, oh God, this mechanic isn't working, this plot device isn't coming together, we need to get, you know, to point B, but point A is broken. My dad just has this ability to memorize the mechanics of a universe and is like, oh, this isn't working. And he'll just pull something out and be like, here you go. This fixes everything. Like, we should have called you 2 hours ago, but that didn't happen. Okay.
They would get into struggle like, we don't need him. We're going to fix it. And then they would get angry at me because they would call me literally a couple hours later and go, no, look, this is all you've done this. All you have to do is this. How could you forget? And they would be so angry.
Uh-huh. So, that annoys me every time.
Yeah.
They're angry that you're always right. I get it. Yeah. I feel that pain all the time.
Yeah. But it was really just trial and error and to be honest, arguing with each other for a few months before everyone kind of found their jobs.
Yes. Well, I've also heard a interesting tidbit that I want to explore further here. Who was in charge of the dialogue, really, between a lot of characters? Who wrote, because Amy, you're going into the research, doing a bulk of the writing of describing. Mm-hmm. Were you also doing the dialogue, or was that someone else that kind of came up with some of
this? It was all three of us.
All three?
John... was really good at just like the outrageous monologues.
I think if you see somebody that's in the red, like their needle is pegged in the red and they're talking for a while, that was probably me.
There is a recording of my dad saying all of those words somewhere because he improvised it.
Because I would
you sailor.
Well, we were talking earlier about like the amount of swearing in the prologue, but you know that all came out of this one's mouth. And when I showed a draft to my father, he said, daughter, and I was like, no, it's all John. He's like, I don't believe you. Yeah. I don't believe my sweet son-in-law could possibly say these things. I was like, oh yes, he did.
But before Jacob, we built a theater company together. So we kind of met building creative things. That's kind of how we got together. So if there was a moment that they couldn't quite wrap their hands around or something, I would go, okay, you know, give me a minute, you know, and I would just pace around for a while and try and find the character. And then I'd come on and just say, you know, okay, turn the recorder on. And I would just do an improv and just go, until they would turn the recorder off. And then oftentimes we were pretty close.
It was very close. Yeah. He would pretty much nail it right off the bat. Yeah. And then, other times I have been told that voice was my strength when I was in graduate school.
There's a lot of characters that I don't know if Jacob and I would really touch. I mean, there was a line here or there we'd go, you know, it'd be funny, it'd be this. But I think there became certain characters that we really gravitated to.
Yeah, like characters would do that. But Jacob, like, I would always like confirm with him because his comedy is just on point.
Yeah.
And he would be really good at saying just like, you know what, ought to happen is this. And I'm just like, well, that's really bold. Let's do it. Yeah. So, like, you know, Jacob could.
And then oddly enough, like the folks, like some poetic moments, if we really needed a description to be.
Yeah, Jacob really is a weird poet. Like, we found that out during this process.
He was like, he'd go upstairs and he'd come back with all this stuff. And it's like, do you have shrooms up there? Yeah, what's going on?
What happened with this, bud? You know, so yeah, we discovered Jacob was a poet. We discovered that we could storyboard when I didn't see something. And Jacob did. And we did that with some of the later books because we wrote these all out of order. And we, and we wrote, you know, we did a few storyboards with this one as well.
Yeah.
And,
it's interesting to us because
so it's really a mix. Yeah.
People like that scene. It's like, oh, all three of us had our hands in that one.
Yeah.
And that's really cool. When someone likes that scene, it's like, oh, it was all three of us.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun to see that usually the ones that people pick out and be like, I really like this scene. It's like, and that's the one that, like, you know, a pretty even piece of us from the three of us are in that scene.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of a particular scene, the later half of the book that I remember talking to you guys about, that it was kind of a combination of all three of. We had a John rant in there. We had some of the Jacob humor and then, you know, Amy kind of bringing that together. So.
Right.
We're doing spoiler free.
So we don't want to go much into that, but there are a lot of scenes.
Catch the next one.
Yeah, catch the next one, and we'll talk about what that is. Yeah. But I definitely think that we also argue about who contributed what to the book, because if somebody will say, "Oh, I just really love that line," and I'll be like, "Hey, that's yours, baby."
And I was like, "For $1 million, no. I would think it was hers or Jacob's."
Like, we just don't even.
Like, it's like, this is my favorite line of the book, and it's like, "Yeah, it was yours." It's like, no, that was yours. And we get into arguments at this point who did what, because it's such a swirl.
You see what a stable relationship looks like? Unlike you, who goes, "No, I said that line. That was."
You see, they have a healthy relationship of humility, and my goal is to gaslight you into giving me all the credit and you all the responsibility.
This is why we could never write a book. That's the goal. If the book sucks, it's I wrote it. If the book's great, he wrote it. You know,
exactly.
But I mean, look, this is, I think, the secret. There's secret sauce from all of us, right? I do think that is true.
And it took a long time to find it.
And it took a long time to find it.
But we had nothing else to do during COVID. That's what we did.
That is an important question.
And then I remember, like you said, like, hey, you know, but you would call him up and say, Jacob, look, this is her strength and you need to let her do it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Jacob would just be like, okay, hands off, let it go.
The ace up our sleeve was always this.
Yes. Yes.
Because, you know, when we decided, it's like, okay, we can't raise a kid and run a theater company anymore. Like, this is untenable. We can't do that. Well, she was like, you know what? I grew up writing stories for my friends. I'm not going to give up a creative life. I'm just going to, try and get into one of the most prestigious creative MFA programs in the country. And she just gets in.
I didn't know it was.
Like, she, you know, like, literally, there are Pulitzer winners that teach there. Like,
I know. I had fun.
So everything kind of went through the actual writer's lens. Like, when it came time, okay, we're locked up, what are we going to do? She created a writer's room. She created, you know, and then we found strength in that too, where everybody would call someone. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, I don't think this works. We have to work harder. The character motivation isn't good enough. We have to work harder. Kind of like a great show on TV would be when there's more writers in the room than just one, your stuff could be called to the carpet if it's just not selling for the other two. I think that was a good thing.
Yeah. Too. And how lucky we were to have that, because like a lot of writers, like, and what you say, you like, you give that to your friends and you do them the service of being honest about what you see and where the improvements are. And we were that brutal with each other.
Yeah.
It'd be like, I could easily hand a scene in and Tom be like, one star, baby, what are you thinking? You know, like, and so when you put every scene through that ringer, you like over and over and over, and I come back and he was like, oh, okay, we were up to about 2.5, you know, like it was just, so when you get that on the front end before it even gets to anybody else, I felt we were so lucky to have each other And because we were so hard on each other, that it really worked.
Would
and
you Felix also, you democratize the book writing process between the three of you? Would you guys say?
Totally, yeah.
I think it's more like the Roman Republic. You know, the three.
No, I think it was.
Yeah, it's like a triumvirate, but there were voting. We still vote.
Oh, we still vote.
Yeah.
We still vote. Is that line going to stay or go? And it's like people have been up. It's gotten ugly. Wow.
So if it was 2-on-1, then that's the decision you guys are making.
That's the decision. We have to live with it. Yeah. Whoever is dead set against it has to live with it.
We were always pretty close. It usually worked, though. Like, we didn't make a bad decision that way.
There were plenty of times that it was 2-1. Sorry, Richard. And then the one has to, like, you know, just sit with it for a couple of days. And usually if it's 2-1, the reason is because they're right, you know. And then a couple of days later, the one person will go like, I'm an idiot.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
Yeah,
I'm going to look forward to our spoiler section to ask you guys which one is, what's the out of each of you, which is the one moment where you were outvoted that you still think like, it's still kind of.
And by spoiler section, remember, there's a pre-sale link at the top of the description below where they're giving signed copies to Discovery. Do you guys want to announce what the period of that and also the actual release day for the book?
Yes, the pre-sale will be going on March 15th through the 22nd. So it's 1 week only, Saturday to Saturday. And it's on our website only. That will be for signed paperback copies.
Yeah.
And
there's special release bookmarks as well.
Oh, yes. Yeah. We got some special bookmarks to go with them. They're very sexy.
Yeah.
Nice. They have a quote from the book on it. It's very beautiful. Yeah. Anyway, so all of that's on our website. You can take a look. Or that's where you want to go if you want a little souvenir of the world, but not where you want to go if you want it on the publication date, because, you know, we got to order the copies, we got to sign them, and then there's the U.S. mail, and who knows, and we're not Amazon. So on May 15th, when it does come out, that's when you want to, you know, head on over to Amazon. But if you go to our website, if you don't want to do it that way, put your email in, and we'll tell you when things go down. You don't have to remember any of this.
Yeah, I want to give a chance here. Earlier you were talking about how, John, you pontificated sometimes and you actually ad-libbed and improvised the lines that were actually ended up in the book. Did you do that in the prologue at all? Did you ad-lib?
That is all, John.
I'd say like 95 to 99% of everything Manny DeMartini says is my dad.
My favorite character.
John is my Manny DeMartini. It's so good.
Here's what happened.
That's unbelievable.
I love this story. Now, we
can say it's on the back of the cover. This is not a spoiler. This is a disgraced game show host that's trying to bring back his career by finding a sunken World War II submarine. And his funding is getting pulled for his production. And I lived in LA for 10 years, and I've stood right next to people when their funding is pulled. And almost everything I said was something I've heard someone say when I was standing next to them when a play was closed or funding was pulled. And that was an honest reaction. So I really just channeled some past history.
I've got to, if you guys don't mind, could I read the first? I can't do better than you, John. I'm just going to read it, not with your verboseness.
I cannot wait for this.
No, this is when you said you were going to do this. We were like, what?
This is the introductory to Discovery. It is. I won't go beyond like a page. It's just to give you guys the feel and to preface this before I begin. I told John Jacob this in a text. The prologue made me cry. And I don't want to anticipate people for the reason of it's not a tearjerker. It's not like an emotional, like, oh my God, what happened? But reading it, I knew like, oh my God, I'm actually going to love this book. I'm actually, I can be so kind to them. Like I was that overwhelmed with emotion because I kid you not. Five stars. Those are that's in our favorite book categories. Now I can't say, you know, it's better than the one and only like Rich.
I mean,
Wheel of Time, of course.
Yes, yeah. Of course.
You know, but okay, I'll give the quick intro here. Here we go. This is the prologue. Overture. Kingdom of Tonga, 1992. Sorry, one more thing I want to preface this with. Right before.
Are you kidding me?
It's the tension. You know how a play works, John?
Killing me, Austin.
It's the tension. It's the pull. People are now so drawn into like, oh, I want to discover what's here. It does read like a stage play too, which is so cool. You can see your stage background in this. Okay, sorry. Without further ado. It has taken a defeat from the first child of the cosmos for me to notice that my plan has been compromised. Go over it again. What did he say? This was just an opening move, a taste of my game before I really get going. He took my queen. He took her. I could not breathe. He was in my face. You don't need air. He took. Stop this. He is gone now. Do not panic. Look everywhere. He took my arm, my queen, my plane. He took. I cannot breathe. You don't need air. Focus. First, conjure the island. Mountains of calcified sea skeletons latching onto an underwater volcanic peak. Then, latching upon one another, layer upon layer, eon after eon, until a cadaverous mass rises from the ocean. This is a scene millions of years in the making. Good. More. See, the man, a wisp at the edge of the island, an aloha shirt plastered with parrots and pineapple sticks to his back. Sweat bubbles through the zinc oxide sunscreen in his bald spot. An aviator sunglasses deflect hostile tropical sun. Fuck you, John P. Reynolds, executive producer of Let It Rip Productions. A streamer of thermal paper clatters in his raised fist. Who the fuck are you to fax me this, Jonah P. Reynolds? More. The man stomps across the sandbar. Trillions of skeletons crunch under the soles of his Gucci boat shoes. You don't want to find the submarine anymore, you chicken shit. You don't want to make television history. You don't like money, Jonah? Pompous wump, suck a bag of dicks. Overseeing the proceedings as a wild pig, teats on her mud-lined belly sway as she adjusts her hooves atop a limestone boulder. Her baritone snuffle echoes in rocky crevices where meaty crustaceans hide. Jonah, you motherfucker. The man chokes on a mosquito. You have questions about me finishing this expedition? I am this expedition, you Braxton Brothers wearing bitch. I don't see you here on this hot and humid beach running this lazy crew, and I certainly don't see you in that hole called the hotel, and I would see you, Jonah, because I have to sleep with his fucking lights on to keep the lizards and roaches from crawling straight up my asshole. I have not kept my anal suit pristine in all these years for that brand of bestiality. Jonah. End scene.
I'm gonna Jeff spit. Hayes, eat your fucking heart out. Oh my God.
Thank you. I've been waiting to get some anger out on this podcast, and I couldn't say it at Rich.
I could see those veins. Those neck veins are bulging.
Oh my God.
Richard looks scared. I was impressed.
I don't get to see his angry side very often.
I gotta say that.
Oh, we just lost audio.
Did you unplug your headphones from excitement? You ran over your own cord.
Oh, that means so much that they enjoyed that. That's great. That's great.
Quick, they can't hear us.
You suck a bag.
One star.
While they're replugging Jacob, that is in my head. Okay, can you guys hear us again?
Yeah.
We okay. Just okay. Awesome. For a second.
Awesome. That is how thrilling I'm reading it in my head. Like that, it was incredible to read, and I know the performance and all. Like I when people are reading this, that is how in my head it felt like a performance. It felt like I was watching somebody speak. Loved it.
It's anxiety. It's just
bang, bang, bang.
No, it's anxiety incarnate. I love the tempo of it. It's amazing. One, great now listening to it again, after finishing it.
Yes.
I'm picking up on some stuff. Yes. And I'm like, oh, that's neat.
Yes.
That's neat. I enjoyed this. Okay. Like, here, anyway.
I don't know. I just have to say this. My headphones are back on. I don't care if we sell one copy. All that work just paid off. Like, that was it. That just to see.
That was really amazing.
Austin Reed, that, like, I'm.
That was really amazing.
I'm taking that with me to the grave. Yeah. That was amazing. I love that so much.
Oh, thank you.
That's the fun thing about all this is the amount. So I've talked previously about indie books in general, which, by the way, it's important to mention. This isn't indie publishing, so you guys have not gone into a publisher, which they're lost, by the way.
This is our second ever indie publishing five star ever.
Yeah.
We've only get this, and we haven't read a ton of indies, but
something that
ever.
I've enjoyed about it, where often indie books will, like, because it's indie, you have no idea what type of editing process it went through. So it's, for me, it's either like it's a big hit or a big miss, but the big hits come because it's something fresh. It's something new, something you have from a blending of genres you haven't seen before, a new concept that just hasn't been executed that way before, that at least I've read. That was the biggest joy from this book, is I have not read a book like it.
Yes.
That is the better part. Like, that's the most flooring part, is it was new. It was actually fresh. It's not just a rehash of something you've seen before. And then not only is it new, it's just so well executed.
Exactly.
And that's kind of my excitement over this. And
yeah, that's probably really why, you know, trad publishing wasn't the right move for this, because, like, nobody was really going to take the risk on this.
It's a little bit longer than they're looking for. And then it's how do you,
A good question to ask. How many words is the book?
It's probably around 150,000, maybe less, probably 140 to 150. And for your first book, agents really like to see around 80 to 90. So it's not that we weren't, you know, like, outside of the boundaries of what, you know, a sci-fi or a fantasy should be. It's that we were just such an unknown quantity.
Yeah.
And because we couldn't come up with a solid, like, you know, yes, it's cosmic horror, which is not, it'd be like, sci-fi is not
sci-fi
selling.
As well,
sci-fi is not selling well right now. And
it's
with publishers.
A bit like epic fantasy as you hop around the world, multi-POV. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's really hard to put in a box.
But there's
cosmic horror, but as Austin so wonderfully just showed, there is comedy as well. It's a whole spectrum of genres.
And if it works, hopefully there's some laughs all the way, you know, here and there through all the way through it. And then I think another thing was like, wait a minute, this is three people, a family writing? Like, what do we do with that?
I don't think there was.
I mean, there's just a lot of weirdness all the way.
There was a lot of weirdness attached to the book. And because of the state publishing is in right now, which is like they're just trying to be extremely careful after the pandemic, a lot of people got screwed. And so it wasn't like I didn't blame people. Like, you know, I wasn't raising my fist on the sandbar like Manny. I was just like, no, like, how do we do this? Because this is the story we made. And we did think it was worth something, or like people that we showed it to seemed to enjoy it and were encouraging us. And I don't think they were, you know, BSing us, but we were just like, you know, we just kept going and just kept pushing. And at some point we said, maybe we ought to try for ourselves, and we ought to listen to people like Philip Chase and Jackie Hagan who were mentoring us. And when John, you know, in a completely separate endeavor, started making his YouTube channel, and we started to get into the BookTube community and meet so many people who were so supportive we were just like, this is just an organic.
Crazy. They're just so helpful.
They're so crazy helpful. And there's so many resources on the internet and so many reasons to do this ourselves, to just, you know, we were just like, let's just go with the organic move here and not try to go against the grain anymore. And just like beating your head against the wall, saying, like, trying to get an agent to give you attention. And, you know, like the way I was, you know, like, you bring coming through like junior high and just like, this is my dream. I want an agent and I want this and whatever. And you're just like, you have to give that up and say, no, what you really want is to bring your story to people.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. you know, an agent is a means to an end. But I had to give some of that like trad dream up. And I'm so glad I did, because the people we've met and the people who have helped us, just like the gratitude I have for this community is amazing.
Yeah.
And we're just so looking forward to paying that forward, because like we just want to be a part of this in every way.
Yeah.
And well, we've made a lot of assumptions. Yeah. By the way, this is Talking Story BookTube channel. I don't so yes, we've made a lot of assumptions. Like everybody knows who you got. Like, because we know you so well.
At the beginning.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, I got distracted with that. Yeah.
But I will say, I'm calling my shot now of book. I bet book two, you guys will at least have a publisher reach out to you.
Oh,
you
definitely.
Will have somebody. I don't know whether or not you will want to, but I anticipate this book being a very big success. That's one of the biggest advantages of the internet is. Mm-hmm. When something actually is good, the internet does a great job of actually getting it around.
Yeah.
And that's the benefit of, like, I'm reminded of Sun Eater when it was, you know, mm-hmm. publishing house was not doing a good job marketing it, whatever it was. But BookTube, specifically, you know, Mike from Mike's Book Reviews, brought the book back in full force and, you know, just didn't change anything, but just brought a light to that amazing series. And I'm hoping that's the same thing with this. I implore people watching, gotta give this book a shot. It is like, there are plenty of books we talk about, recommend. I insist. If you like any of our if you like any of our takes on books and you think like, hey, sometimes these guys sometimes know what they're talking about with books, take our advice here. Like, give this book a shot.
Especially, we're going to have one of the most fun conversations, spoiler free and spoiler full, with John, Amy, and Jacob. We're filming it tomorrow, but it won't be released for a couple months from now.
Yeah.
We will dive into everything on the book. And again, imploring everybody to go read it. Could not agree more with what you said, Rich. I think even saying, because when you say indie as well, and just how different this is, the point that's being made here is, this is not just Richard and I. Kendall, who is a moderator on your Discord, Kendall has been patron of ours for like a year at this point. She reads like 400 books a year.
Yeah,
400. Yeah. She gives this book 5 stars. She says she's never read anything like this. There's Philip Chase, who also gave a blurb on yours. Like, even if you don't like Rich and I's takes. Everybody's loving this book. You're missing out.
That was such a surreal thing
to me.
When
Jani Wirtz gave us a blur. I mean,
right.
Yeah,
right? And we need to mention Jani Wirtz as a mentor, because.
Oh my gosh. She was one of the first people.
I can't wait to talk to you like spoilery about what Jani contributed to this.
Oh my gosh. It was huge.
Yeah. And what editors. And when we talk about indie and how much editors bring to the table, and how different this book was, you know, pre-editors and post.
Yeah.
It's like, you have to have money because they're expensive and they earn it. They earn every penny of it. But to have that money on the front end to pay them is necessary, because, and you have to listen to your editors. And even though I told you before this started that I was having a little with the copy editor this morning, eventually I came around to her point of view, and that's a lot less democratic, because like, she is right.
Yeah.
But if you don't listen to your editors, these are people who are trying to have your back. They're not trying to control you. They're trying to have your back. Just the more people you can have on your team, the better, but it takes money. And that's what really blows about the indie circuit.
And that's very, that's very difficult for, you know,
that's why we owe such a massive thank you to Jani. Yeah. Like, she didn't charge us, and she probably should have. She was just somebody that was
rough of the neck.
Yeah.
She was just somebody that we thankfully met through the amazing community, and we sat on the 40-45 minute phone call with her. And that was the most I've ever learned about writing in 40-45 minutes. That she is brilliant. And when she speaks, you feel it. Like, the book would not have been half of what it is without her.
And people say that Jani is super nice, and she wasn't mean on the phone call. She was just brutal. And she asked us at the beginning of the phone call, how hard do you want to work? And we said, very hard. She's like, all right, good. And then she just rolled up her sleeves and just told us, like, yeah, this is what you need to do. Bam, 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 bam. Yeah. And she would be yelling at us on the phone. It's like, this needs to happen here. This needs to happen here. Yeah. And it was just like, well, we better do this or she's going to kill us.
Yeah.
Well, but Jenny Wars? Yeah, thing. Jenny hurts.
Jenny hurts. Yeah.
But I just want to throw one thing. You don't... you know, there are some people that are just gifted to a point where maybe they don't have to pay editors, and the indie movement is
right,
large and sprawling and everybody has different possibilities for themselves. But us as a team definitely had to have our editors, yeah, and we're, yes, very happy we invested in that because it's such a different book, mm-hmm, after we went through that process.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You definitely feel it. It's a fully polished work and... you feel it. I one of the things I talk about with like the difference between indie books and like trad published books is normally you can kind of get a feel. You know, like, did this go through an editor enough? It does, you know, are the characters in the right place? Do you have a proper understanding of space and time? Which I think is one of the hardest things for debut novelists to actually just get. That's a basic thing, but it's a difficult thing to actually properly get across, because you in your own head when you're writing, you know where everyone is, but the audience doesn't. This one's polished. Like, you clearly went through that. Your editor did a great job. I can't wait to talk with you guys. Like, full spoilers, we're gonna make
it's
go into every character and all the details. I'm jazzed to talk with you tomorrow.
Oh yeah, we're gonna have so much fun.
I hope there's another reading.
Yeah, I hope there's another reading.
Hey, you get to pick the section. You have 24 hours.
Okay, we'll figure something out.
I think I know one.
No, I want Austin to do it.
Oh, John, you gotta do one.
I already know the scene.
I gotta hear John.
I do have to hear John do the scene that I'm thinking of.
All right,
okay.
We all know the big improv scene that for me was like one of the best. It was the best moment I think for the novel for me. Yeah. And so I want to hear.
Is it close to the end?
It's
ish. Like,
all right,
we'll talk.
And if that's the part, we'll pull it up or something.
Even if we have to set it up like a private birthday party for Richard, we'll make it happen.
You know, I just
like John the clown.
It's exactly. Yeah. You can rent me out. Just when you were talking about space and spatially and stuff, it's like, that was another one of the big bonuses we had. Is I remember a lot of times reading a scene and it's like, I can't place these people. I can't, you know, I'm looking at a stage and where are they and how are they in relation to the, and it's like, we'd go back and rewrite that until we could see it. Or Jacob would storyboard it to start off with so we could better see it.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, those steps really help.
This book definitely has a team behind it. Yeah. Like, it's not just us three. I mean, there's a full staff.
Oddly enough.
We were talking about that today. I was just like, gosh, we have a tiny little empire we're building. But
incredible. And I think that comes through even on the prose level. I know it takes a lot of refinement to get what you all accomplished. And a massively impressive part about that was how much the character voice came through and the descriptions that they made of things of objects and the places around them. It's like, oh, of course Lucia would say that. Of course Ashanti would say that. Like, you feel exactly the world from their point of view as well, which is even more impressive that you juggle several different point of views spanning cultures and also time. So it feels so epic, and then it actually feels like you're going into a different person's mind and a different place rather than, oh, they all blend together. So when you finish reading the book, it's, whoa, that's a lot to talk about and consume. It feels so great because when we're going to talk spoilers, we're so excited because we'll have to cap at 3 hours or something. We're going to have to limit ourselves. Sorry. So
should we bring food?
We'll have to bring in food.
Yes. Yes, please. But I want to give Rich, do you have anything else you wanted to add in?
All the rest of my thoughts of the book will be saved for the spoiler-free, spoiler-full, the full review some weeks after the actual release of the novel, giving you guys a chance to actually read it. Our review will be coming up right after that.
In May.
in May. So
in May, yes.
We will probably have tail end of May will be our review.
And we'll, so again, there's the pre-sale link in description below. This is Talking Story. Check out their YouTube channel, BookTube. All fantastic people. As you can see here, Amy's definitely the one that was able to write it. John and Jacob, they're kind of, you know, they're just side pieces to the stage play we're playing. And the only reason they could the only way they could prove otherwise is if they come to tomorrow and John gives an epic performance beyond all comprehension. That's the only way.
We'll see which scene it is. It'll be funny if it wasn't actually one of mine. It'll be pretty funny.
Okay.
Yeah.
Genuinely impressed with all three of you. And I love that you, to, the big takeaway for me is like, that's so great that Jacob, you brought some of the humor. John, you brought the monologue pontificating. Amy, the research, amongst other things, all three of you. This was an experiment done perfectly and exactly correct. We're wishing the best. We're hoping this just does amazing and that people can gush with us. We didn't mention too, this is going to be a 5-book series, right? This is book one of five. Yes.
Book one of five.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. So you're all in for an epic ride. You guys want to sign off with anything to the audience?
I mean, guys,
I'll sign off by saying
so much.
Yeah. The two of them were talking about how great this community is and meeting amazing people. And you guys are at the top of that list. We're all friends at this point. So, I mean, not only thank you guys for even giving the book a shot, I'm just glad you like it, but thank you guys for being friends.
I mean, I want
to emphasize, if book two is bad, this friendship's over. I established this already.
I expected that.
I just got to echo that, guys.
I won't give you a bad book two, though.
It's so meaningful.
I'm excited for it.
No, honestly, there's huge chunks of book two that are already done because we started with book three.
Awesome.
Yeah, but we're just... I'm psyched to get that going. Yeah,
there's some stuff that goes down.
I can't wait. Oh, but thank you, Jen, Jacob, John, Amy. Thank you all. Sorry, Jen, did I cut you off with anything before?
No. Okay. Thank you guys from the bottom, man. You guys are just amazing.
Yeah, thank you so much.
No problem at all. And Rich, anything else?
We'll catch you guys in the next video.
Yes.
Go buy a book.
Go buy a book. Read it.
Good. Good book. Bye all.
Good night. Thanks.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.